Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Music licensing is probably one of the most complicated issues about podcasting, figuring out what you can and can't play on your show. And one of the companies that's trying to make that easier is IOTA. And I'm here talking to Corey Dennis about how this works and how they are making it easy for you to legally play songs from famous people in your podcast.
So what we have at IOTA is PromoNet, and PromoNet is a web portal where podcasters and bloggers can come in and access our catalog of over 2,700 indie labels from around the world. So they're labels of all sizes, and we wrote blanket licenses, a blanket blogger license and a blanket podcast license. The labels, who are rights holders to this music, agree to the license and then choose what we call promo tracks from certain albums. And when they decide it's a promo track, it's available in PromoNet for a blogger or podcaster to use. So basically what would happen is a blogger or podcaster comes to PromoNet, logs in, they can cruise the entire catalog, they see what tracks are promo tracks. If you're a blogger, you blog the MP3. We host it so you don't even have to worry about bandwidth. And there's a snippet of code, and it's just like YouTube. Like, you just copy and paste the snippet of code, and in that snippet of code is artist attribution and a link to buy. So if you have any subscribers in your podcast or blog that want to buy the track, that's awesome, and they're able to do that, and that's what you're agreeing to when you agree to our terms. If you have an affiliate program, you can enter your affiliate code in your profile and you still get your credit, and that applies to bloggers and podcasters. And if you're a podcaster, you just tell us that you use the track in your podcast, so we call that reporting.
So one of the issues that's complicated is the whole ASCAP BMI thing. How does that play into the licensing of stuff through IOTA? Is that taking care of publishing rights for the actual artists who write the songs?
Yeah, the rights holder to the music, and generally in our case is going to be, because we're working with labels, so the labels have all that dealt with already. That's part of their deal with the artist. So the rights holders to the music have already dealt with that, and our license is then dealing with the marketing and the promotion of the music.
So what kind of artists might we find in the PromoNet catalog?
Well, somebody just walked by and said, do you have everything from electronic to Bach? And I was able to say yes. So we have the London Symphony Orchestra. We have artists off of TVT Records, Ambulance Limited. Maceo Parker, who was just on tour with Prince, Master P, Cottonmouth Kings, Black Angels. We have indie rock of all sorts that I hear on KCRW and KEXP, and then we have Bach.
Fair enough. So you got a whole lot of music there, basically. What if I have a show and I want to run ads in front of these songs? Is that a part of the terms of service, or am I only able to run the songs themselves?
If you're running ads and you have what is considered a commercial podcast, then we would consider you for a promotional partner license. So we have a license ready for you if it applies, and you but because there's no definition of a commercial podcast, this is a gray area. If you're doing a podcast for some evil company like McDonald's or Clorox Bleach, as we discussed at Gnomedex, then probably we would have to come to you and say we have a different license for you. Because the artist is giving you their art and they're associating it with something like Clorox Bleach. And they might not believe in Clorox Bleach, and that's their right. It's their art.
How about subscriptions? I mean, a lot of people are talking about the idea if they want to charge, $2 a download or $50 a year or something for people to subscribe and listen to their podcast. Is that totally out under this model?
Yes, it's out on this model. We would be a promotional partnership. We would have to create a new license for you or decide if that's something that the artist, the rights holder to this music, wants associated with their music. And would you pay them? I mean, this is an art. You're talking about intellectual property and somebody's art. And if you're going to profit off of their art, I would hope that you would want them to profit as well. So,
I mean, you cite like KEXP as an example of, I live in Seattle and I listen to KEXP almost every day. And, I mean, people around the world do, too, because they stream it online. But, they accept donations from members. I'm a member of KEXP. And so, in effect, by them being tastemakers that are selecting cool music that I want to hear, I'm donating them money, which is, in effect, paying them, to keep doing that for me. How is it different if it's a podcast?
a good question. I would assume that when you're donating it, they have a specific tax code that applies to that donation. I would think that a podcaster, if they wanted to take donations, would have to do, is it 501(c) or something like that? They would have to apply, and it would have to actually be a donation. If you're paying them, you get into this another weird gray area with the music industry, which we used to call payola. It's tough to answer that. When you donate to KEXP, they have a legal obligation to keep that as a donation, and if they violate that law, they're responsible for all the legal implications that go with that. And the same would go to a podcaster. In fact, you raise an interesting issue, because what if a podcaster asked for donations and did the 501(c) thing? That's an interesting concept, actually.
I'm pushing out into the boundaries of stuff that's not really happening right now. But I mean, I try to look into the future and see, you know, maybe where we might be headed with all this podcasting stuff. And that's a valid possibility. I mean, like John in the Morning on KAXP is paid a lot of money to pick really cool music.
Yes, and actually KXP is registered to PromoNet, but because John in the Morning has such amazing eclectic taste, he can't always use PromoNet because he needs things on the fly for their podcast when they do podcasting, or he has very obscure, wonderful, amazing taste, and he's getting paid that kind of money to have that unique taste. And what's interesting and just so human about it is there's very few people that have that knowledge base of music. So he's getting paid big money to be a musicologist, basically.
So, I mean, let's take this back around to the more simple things, because, I mean, I've kind of sent this out in a complicated direction. And, I mean, okay, I happen to like punk rock, and, I mean, so you've got some punk rock. And so I want to start a show about punk rock and just like kind of handpick songs. And I don't care about having ads, and I don't care about a subscription fee. I just want to find cool songs and share them with other people. That's kind of more what your model is geared towards, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So we consider this promotional. This is marketing platform. It's a platform to market music. We are a digital distribution company, so it's in our interest and our label's interest and our artist's interest to promote digital sales, because that's the content that we're putting out. We're encoding it all. It was taking all this time, all these engineers to encode content, and we believe that the way to market that encoded content is digital marketing. So we build a digital platform to do it.
So what makes it better for me to get like an MP3 from the PromoNet world as opposed to just finding out that you have an artist that is allowing people to do this, and then just like, so I happen to have that already in my library and just adding that to a playlist?
This way you know you have permission, so it's fully legal. This way the artist knows that you've given them credit. I mean, there's nothing stopping you from doing it the other way. There's nothing stopping me from doing it the other way on my podcast. And we can all here at this conference say the same thing. We've all played non-safe music or whatever, and we've all done it. But if you want to do it legally and be covered so that you don't get a cease and desist, or when you do get your cease and desist, you can defend yourself in some way, this is how you access that music. It's also pleasing to our artists and our labels, because they know they're getting the credit, and they know that any of your subscribers have an opportunity to buy if they so choose. Whether or not they do, whether or not anyone clicks on that buy link is a whole other story, but the opportunity is there, and that makes our artists and labels feel safe, and generally most artists and labels feel safe about that. If you're a podcaster and you want to contact the label directly, that's great. I mean, but it is a time saver for podcasters who are putting together a podcast at 2 a.m. You're not going to get an answer from a label at 2:30 a.m. You might, but chances are you're not. If you log into PromoNet, you can just grab the track.
What about, I mean, you mentioned blogs, and let's say I really don't want to have to like compile a show. Like, I don't want to pick out six songs that all fit well together and make a mix. Is it okay for me to join PromoNet and then post a file?
It's more than encouraged, actually. We have more podcasters use PromoNet than bloggers. I wish we had an equal amount. So you go. PromoNet provides that MP3. We host the file, so nobody has to worry about bandwidth but us.
So let's say I have a MySpace account, and MySpace has kind of complicated terms of service, because they say if you post a file in their system, then they own it. Is IOTA deal with that?
We have plenty of MySpace bloggers that use PromoNet, and I am one of them. I post PromoNet MP3s or MP3s out of PromoNet on my personal MySpace page all the time. I did get a TOS violation notice. I went to log in and I was told I was violated for terms of service. I reviewed the terms of service and couldn't find anything that I had actually done wrong, and then my account was reinstated. So I do it all the time. We have plenty of MySpace users that use PromoNet tracks, and they just post the MP3s in their blogs. Seems to be working okay for them, too.
Well, great. I am definitely going to actually make use of my PromoNet account that I have, and because I don't have time to build a show, but I can go through and find some songs and tell other people about cool songs that I find.
Now, with your GoDaddy.com domain registration, as a listener of The Chris Perillo Show, enter code CHRIS1 and save an additional 10% on any order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.